Today is an exciting day in the life of our church as we celebrate our graduates and recognize our mothers. I'm excited you are here this morning. So many wonderful memories we share together as a church family. Some good, some bad. We all have memories. Speaking of memories, the best way that I have kept up with some of my memories has been Facebook. And I know that you teenagers do not use Facebook anymore because your parents are on them. You use Instagram or Snapchat. Whatever social media you use or you are on, we all can agree we need to spend as much time on it as we do. We do not need to spend as much time as we do on it. We need to limit our time on media. So I'm trying to make friends outside of Facebook while applying the same principles. Listen to these. Therefore, every day I walk down the street, tell passersby what I've eaten and how I feel at the moment. What I've done that night before, and what I'm going to do later, and with whom. I give them pictures. I hand out pictures of my family. Addison maybe running, Ashlyn graduating, Davis coaching at Blessed Trinity, my dog Lily, of me taking things apart in the garage and never getting them back together, watering the lawn, standing on in front of landmarks, driving around Roswell, having lunch, and doing what anybody and everybody does every day. I also listen to their conversations. I give them a thumbs up and tell them I like them. And it works just like Facebook. I already have 4 people following me. 2 police officers, a private investigator, and a psychiatrist. Just kidding. Honestly, I do not do that. But being a church, we have each and one of us, if we look around here, we have special place in our hearts for each other. A relationship that goes through and stands on Jesus Christ. Relationships are so important, especially those that we share in this Christian family. And I want to talk a little bit about that this morning in the brief time I have. The importance of the church. Today, God wants us to discover what His plan is for us in our lives. And He wants us to know it in the joy of knowing and sharing Christ. So the title of my sermon this morning is Just Keep Swimming in Joy. And the thoughts center around just keep swimming in gratitude. Just keep swimming in confidence. Just keep swimming in prayer. Just keep swimming in love. I must confess to you that Ashlyn, graduating hat, sparked my sermon title for the day. As you can see, she painted on the top of it, I just kept swimming. The quote is from a Disney movie called Finding Nemo. Now, I'm not one for watching a lot of movies, especially in the theater, as my family can tell you. They also can tell you if I find myself sitting down for even a few minutes, I'm snoring. But this movie made an impression on me. This movie made over $900 million, Finding Nemo. The reason I enjoyed that movie had nothing to do with it being a cartoon, yet that helped. For those of you who may not have seen this movie, let me share just a brief description. Marlin, A clownfish lost his wife and all their eggs except for one when a barracuda broke into their living space and ate them. Doesn't sound like a happy movie, does it? The one egg, though, that Marlin saved would be his son Nemo. Nemo would eventually be captured by a scuba diver because he wanders off from home and he disobeys Dad. So Marlin begins his adventure to find his son. He spends the whole movie trying to get his son back home safely, finding clue after clue, experiencing the whole ocean and other creatures in the ocean that he would not have experienced if he had not left home. He's not alone, though. During the movie of his quest, he runs in and he meets Dory, my favorite character, a blue tang fish. Tang fish, T-A-N-G. Google it. I didn't know what it... I was correct. It's tang fish. Dory completely steals the show. The forgetful blue tang fish gets virtually all the best lines of the movie. And that shows her funny side. But it not only shows her funny side, it shows her heartfelt side as well. The one thing that Dory said in the movie was, "When life gets you down or it's hard, just keep swimming." I tell you that because life is not always going to be easy. There'll be turns, there'll be roadblocks, there'll be distractions, there'll be fears, there'll be disappointments, there'll be frustrations, there'll be failures in life. But when you're feeling like giving in, just keep swimming. So how do we do that, you may ask? How do we keep swimming in the midst of life when disappointments and frustrations and failures come our way? Well, today I want to suggest to you, by using the phrase, "just keep swimming in joy," from Paul's letter to the Philippian church. Just keep swimming in gratitude. Just keep swimming in confidence. Just keep swimming in prayer. Just keep swimming in love. So that's why I've chosen Philippians 1, chapter 3, or verse, chapter 1, verse 3 through 11. And I need to share with you just briefly a story what came of this. And we'll read the scripture here in a minute. But on Friday, I received a call from Kenny. And you say, well, who is Kenny? Kenny was the missionary that we used for our Port St. Joe trip down to Mexico Beach. He just happened to call me this past Friday. And he was in Nashville, Tennessee. He was at a conference. And he said, "Robert, I just wanted to call you." And our team knows Kenny, very personable person. Very heartful for God, very much a heart for Port St. Joe and Mexico missions. But he said, "Robert, I'm calling you. I just wanted to call to let you know that I appreciate what your team did from First Baptist Roswell. Your team, or First Baptist Roswell, the people that came down made an impact in our community, made a mark. We appreciate all that you did and the relationship we have with you. And I just wanted you to know that we thank you. And every time I remember the time that y'all were down here working, you come to my mind and my heart. Your church does, the team." Wow. And I'm thinking, that's what my sermon is about. First Baptist Roswell, we can be thankful and grateful for the hard work we do through missions and the relationships we build. So keep on swimming. Keep on doing missions. Keep on serving. Keep on being used by God. And the verses I want to read are found in chapter 1, verses 3. We're kind of eavesdropping on Paul, who is writing to a church that has been family to him. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending or confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ Jesus, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Since the first day you joined the church, or better yet, became part of the family of faith, you have been building a partnership with God and other believers. God did not create us to be alone. He designed relationships, not just of marital and families, but friendships as well. Friendships fill the gaps in our lives, providing us with a wide variety of support and love and partnership. Partnerships are valuable and an important part of life. Speaking of the importance of partnership, in my office I have a picture of a group of rowers on a river that is titled, Working Together. Coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. Working together is success. In looking at this picture every day, it reminds me of his church and the journey we are on each and every day of life. We are partners in sharing and growing in the gospel. We are fulfilling the gospel. We are excited to serve by each other. Colossians 1:16, it says, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything God started, and God finds its purpose in him. The very fact that you are alive means God has a purpose for your life. Understand that joy produces a great attitude, not perfect circumstances, just grateful hearts. One of the neat things about being a part of a church like this is being able to participate in different mission trips. And you find out how grateful and how blessed you are. I will never forget the story that Johnny, Keyshawn, your dad shared with me when he went with us on one of our first Haiti trips. And we witnessed firsthand a little girl who was walking with us through the village on a prayer walk. Johnny reached in his pocket and took out a piece of candy and shared it with the little girl. The little girl, instead of popping it in her mouth, the whole thing, which I probably would have done, she took the hard candy and she worked so hard to break it into so many pieces. And then she gave it and shared it with the other children that were around her. Wow, such joy to witness and to see this happen right before your eyes. The spirit of gratitude. The spirit of thanksgiving. So in looking into God's plan or purpose for our lives as partners, let's examine what made Paul feel the way he did about the church in Philippi. Paul was one of the greatest persons to have accomplished and the living understanding of the importance of joy in the life of a Christian. He could just find it in any circumstances. You know, he wrote this book when he was in prison. He could find it. He didn't allow circumstances and situations to rob him of what God was doing right there in front of him. There was a friend of mine who was legally blind. She attended the college that Dean and I went to. And her name was Jennifer Jolly. Her name now is Jennifer Rothschild. You may have heard of her. She has written many books. She has also worked with Beth Moore. In college, she was very talented too. She sang a lot, did many concerts. And she had to depend on a lot of people to get her around campus. I remember asking her one day, because we knew her well, how did she learn how to be blind, handle being blind? She told me that she had learned not to complain. I have so many blessings for which I am truly grateful, she said. As I look back on my own relationship with her and my experience with Jennifer and myself, having the ability to see the sky, the trees, the grass, and play baseball, I really wonder which of us could really see. I have so much to be thankful for, but sometimes I find myself grumbling over stupid things. Jennifer could not see. Wait a minute. I take that back. She could see. She could see what was really important about life. Most of the time we allow circumstances and situations and other people and ourselves to rob us of the joy and blessings that are right in front of us. Gratitude comes not so much from what we have as how we see what we have. Sometimes we just got to keep swimming. Finally, I know I'm running out of time, but we must understand that we've got to keep swimming with confidence and what it means to be confident. And as I close this out, I want to finish the story because it's important to me. But being a native Floridian, if you didn't like water, you had to move because water was everywhere. And I grew up on a lake. Matter of fact, it was the biggest lake in our town, where we learned how to swim, ski, and fish. You could bet your life that someone was on a lake in our small town in Florida. Matter of fact, my father-in-law loved to fish, and he fished almost every day. Early before he went into work, he got up before 5, and late in the afternoon when he got off work. Virgil was also a great, great fisherman. The name even sounds like a fisherman, doesn't it? He was good at fishing. He could look across a body of water and know where the fish were at and take our boat directly over there. I was like, how did you see that? He said, I saw him schooling. Don't ask me how I knew or how he goes, don't ask me how I know. I just know. He had a passion for swimming. He had a passion and a love for fishing. It was like second nature to him. If anyone in our hometown wanted to catch fish that day, they would find out where Virgil was fishing, what lake he was on, and they'd go to another one. Because you didn't want to compete with him. No one knew how he did it and what bait he knew how to use at that particular time. He just knew it. He was confident. He was a confident first fisherman, and I witnessed that firsthand in growing up. Looking at Paul expressed this same type of confidence in his church in Philippi. If you go back to Acts chapter 16, and you can look at that later, you will see from Lydia, where he met at the waterside, to the jailer who had beaten him and thrown him in jail, but then by the end of it, was taking care of his wounds. He had a relationship with these people. He had built a relationship. It didn't start off just like that. God had changed his plans. God had sent him a vision. He wasn't going to Philippi, but God changed that plan. God may change your plans because he's got something better for you. So that's why it's so important in your prayer life that you are connected with him on a regular basis. God may change your plans. If Paul hadn't listened to God, he would have never gone to Philippi and never had written one of the best epistles that he has written. Because if you study the other epistles, he was always getting on to them. He had something to complain about with them, the Galatians and all of them. But the Philippians, there's not really a negative thing in there. It's a love, heartfelt letter. And that wasn't even in God's plans. So my challenge to you today as I close out is to continue to swim. Continue to swim with confidence in God. Continue to swim with thanksgiving and gratitude. Continue to swim in love, in God's love, agape love, which covers a multitude of sins. Not human love, because if human love, you're going to depend on your own strength. In human love, you're going to have conditions on those relationships you have in life, and you're never going to forgive when someone has wronged you. But in God's love, unconditionally, because He loved you first, you're going to have forgiveness regardless of what that person does to you. There's power in that, in understanding that. So keep on swimming in confidence. Keep on swimming in gratitude. Keep on swimming in prayer. And keep on swimming in love. This will increase your joy. So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the gift of life. I thank you so much for the fact that we understand that life is not always easy. There's going to be hardships. There's going to be frustrations. There's going to be disappointments. And Father, sometimes it's through those difficulties and through those sufferings and through those fears and through those frustrations that we grow the most. Paul experienced that in his missionary journey to Philippi. He was beaten. He was annoyed by a young girl who was possessed. He was almost killed just because you changed his plans. And yet he became and stayed faithful and stayed the course. And he kept swimming. Father, my heart's desire is that these graduates would continue to move forward in you. And the only way we can find out your purpose and plan for our lives is that we got to stay connected to you. We've got to put you first in our lives through prayer, through your love, and being grateful for how you've created us in your image. Thank you again for our graduates. Thank you for their families. Thank you for the mothers that are here and those in our church who have led and been examples as godly mothers and godly ladies. And we'll just give you all praise, honor, and glory. For we ask in your Son's name, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.